Hello, this is Bishop William Koenig. Welcome to Catholic Forum, a weekly presentation of the Office of Communication of the Diocese of Wilmington. Now, here is your host, Bob Krebs.
Thanks, Bishop. The National Day of Prayer and Remembrance for Mariners and People of the Sea is held on May 22nd. It's an opportunity to recognize the hardworking men and women of the U.S. Merchant Marine, seafarers, fishers, port personnel, and all who work or travel on the high seas. On this episode of Catholic Forum, after Joe Owens gives us the latest news from the dialogue, and music from John Michael Talbot's Table of Plenty CD, we'll talk to two people from the Seaman Center of Wilmington, Executive Director Christine Lassiter and Volunteer Joseph Ryan. We'll learn about the important work of the center and about the National Day of Prayer on today's Catholic Forum. We hope you find today's program informative and inspirational. Now, with the news, here is Joe Owens.
Thank you, Bob. With news for the Catholic community of Delaware, Maryland's Eastern Shore, and beyond, I am Joseph P. Owens, editor of The Dialogue. Today is the day the Diocese of Wilmington opens its arms to a new priest. Father Brennan Ferris was ordained today by Bishop Koenig at the Cathedral of St. Peter in Wilmington. It comes a week after the transitional diaconate of Deacon John Enemois and 1 year after the ordination of Father Michael Preston. Father Ferris is a longtime member of St. Elizabeth's Parish in Wilmington and a product of its schools. His father, Walt, is a permanent deacon, and Mom Beth is active in the parish. Priests active in the formation of Father Ferris told the Dialogue they couldn't be happier to welcome their newest brother. Said Father Norman Carroll, diocesan vocations director and pastor of St. Elizabeth's, "I first met him as a student in high school and altar server. They are a great family. It's been interesting to watch Brennan go through his formation and mature," said Father Roger DeBoo of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish. "It's a long journey that formation requires. Brennan is a faithful and pastoral man, and I think he will make an excellent priest," said Father Carlos Ochoa, pastor of St. John's Holy Angels Parish. "He has a wonderful connection to people. It's the joy that he has in embracing people of all ages. He is full of energy and a very welcoming person. He is a very good listener. He will be an attentive priest. The parish that gets him will have a good treasure." Father Ferris is the first priest to be ordained by Bishop Koenig, who was appointed 10th Bishop of Wilmington by Pope Francis last year. It took an extra year because of the coronavirus pandemic, but Holy Rosary Parish brought together the past and the present on May 14th as the Claymont community concluded its 100th anniversary celebration with a mass and dinner. Bishop Koenig was the principal celebrant at the anniversary mass, but he was not alone. Other priests who attended included current pastor Father John Gayton, former pastors Monsignor Stanley Russell and Father Clemens Monista, former associate pastors Monsignor Charles Brown and Father Bill Graney, and two priests who grew up in the parish, Monsignor John Hopkins and Father Brian Lewis. Deacons Rich Michael and Austin Lobo were also in attendance. Deacon Michael proclaimed the gospel. Current Deacon Jose Perez also assisted at the Mass. During his homily, Bishop Koenig talked about the three G's: grace, gratitude, and greatness. "It's just coincidental," the bishop joked, "that your pastor is John Gayton." Holy Rosary was established in 1921, the bishop noted, and the school was opened in 1950. The current church was dedicated in 1960. None of that would have been possible, the bishop said, without the hard work of parishioners from those times. They were members of what one television journalist refers to as the greatest generation, Bishop Koenig said, adding, "We too are called to be mindful of preparing a place for tomorrow's generation. How we too are called to be people who are mindful of building on what has been given to us so that others might benefit after us." And don't forget, for up-to-the-minute news, visit thedialogue.org and pick up a copy of the Dialogue newspaper in the Catholic churches and schools in the Diocese of Wilmington. For Catholic Forum, I'm Joseph P. Owens, editor of the Dialogue.
Glory and praise to our God, who alone gives life to our day. Many are the blessings he bears to those who trust in his ways. Glory and praise to our God, who alone gives life to our day. And sons of him who built the valleys and plains. Praise the wonders our God has done in every heart that sees.
You're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs, and my guests today are from the Seaman Center of Wilmington. First of all, the executive director of the Seaman Center, Christine Lassiter. Christine, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. And also a volunteer at the Seaman Center, Joseph Kirk Ryan, who you may remember as the retired editor and general manager of the Dialogue. Joe, welcome back.
It's nice to be back, Bob. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. You're enjoying your retirement.
Enjoying retirement, and I found a place to volunteer in my senescence.
That's great. We all need that. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, let's talk to Christine. We're going to be talking about the Seaman Center of Wilmington, Christine, and because tomorrow, on the 22nd of May, the church celebrates a National Day of Prayer and Remembrance for Mariners and People of the Sea. And that's pretty much what you folks do at the Seaman Center. You minister to and you help and aid the mariners and people of the sea who visit our city. So we're going to be, but before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, please, Christine.
I'm Christine Lassiter. I'm the executive director for the Seaman Center of Wilmington. I've been at the center for a little over 7 years, but I've been the executive director for about a year and a half. I took over for Joan Lyons when she retired.
Now, Joan was there for a long time, wasn't she?
20 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She really established a lot of very good programs and, mm-hmm. and got the ball running. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then are you a Delawarean?
I am not. I was born in Massachusetts, raised in Pennsylvania, and when I got married, I moved to Delaware uh-huh. with my husband.
Great. And Joe Ryan, tell us about yourself.
Yes. Well, along Christine's lines, I was born in Philadelphia, raised in Delaware County, and got married and moved to Delaware. So it's a similar path. I was in the Catholic press for about 4 years at the Catholic Standard and Times and Catholic Review, and about 13 years combined at the Dialogue, mm-hmm. Some of those as editor. And I'm glad the Dialogue is still thriving.
Yes, absolutely.
I retired 5 years ago, and about a year into retirement, I was looking around thinking I could do well volunteering somewhere.
Yeah.
Turned out I had written a story when I was working for Jim Grant at the Dialogue, who sent me down to the Seaman Center about, 2008, 2009, because Father Kaufman at the cathedral was the port chaplain under the diocese set up at that time.
Right.
And we talked to Father Kaufman, and Joan showed me around the port and the Siemens Center, and I recalled it about 10 years later, thinking that was a very nice thing to do. I like the thought of welcoming the stranger.
Right.
And so I called Joan. And here I am today as a volunteer a couple days a week.
Yeah,
not,
great.
You know, not for a full day, but.
Good. So tell us, Christine, if you would please, tell us about the work of the Siemens Center. What is it? What does it do?
The Siemens Center was founded prior, really, to 1990, but came into effect in 1990. And it was really put together by a diverse group of people in the maritime community, local businesses, and the church community. So the object of the Siemens Center was to be non-denominational, volunteer-driven organization, set to just simply, our mission is simple. It's to help and welcome seafarers. Mm-hmm. They're essentially a, you know, foreigner in a foreign land, and many don't speak the language, even though English is the language of the sea. Usually they find one guy on board who speaks English very well, and he does the talking for them.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually, you actually have a building, the center is actually a building, and it's there on the, in the port. And what types of services do you provide there?
We have the cutest little yellow house on the port, and it's truly a little oasis. We have this little patch of land right by the security gate, and it has trees and flowers and bushes. It's very green and lush. And when you come in the center, everything's very welcoming. It's just like being in a home. There's couches and somebody to greet you with a nice smile and say hello. We provide free Wi-Fi and computers. Mainly when they come in, they want to contact home. They sign on for 9 months. They sign a 9-month contract, and they pack a little bag, and they leave their family, and they don't go back home for, you know, that period of time. And during COVID, it was actually 18 to 24 months that they were stuck on these ships and unable to get off. But at the center, we provide free Wi-Fi, computers, some gently used clothing. A lot of times when the Filipino guys come in, they're not used to the cold weather. So we provide jackets and sweatshirts. Some basic toiletries. We have a small ship store. Right now, the big thing that they like to purchase from us are SIM cards for their phones so that they can download content to watch while they're at sea where they don't have internet connection and to contact home.
Is this unique, or are there centers in most ports such as this?
We're not unique. There are about 800 centers worldwide. We're not affiliated with any other centers. However, we do work with the other centers. You know, there's a center up river up in Philadelphia, and they handle Philadelphia and southern New Jersey. And I sometimes work closely with that executive director, Helene, especially during COVID when we were trying to coordinate vaccinations. And just we found a wonderful partner with ACME, just sort of out of the blue, almost, you know, tripping over them one day. An agent had called us and said, oh, hey, could you be the escort on the port for our pharmacist, to go on board our ship and get the guys vaccinated? And I had said, yes. At the current time we were working with, the state, with the National Guard. And, when I met Allison from ACME, I got her contact information, and we partnered with ACME to do onboard vaccinations and in pharmacy vaccinations.
Wow! So if a sailor comes in into port on one of these cargo ships, and they're not vaccinated, you can have someone come in and do that for them, then?
Yes, yes. And a lot of times because of COVID, if the guys haven't been able to get home, so they're stuck in this catch-22 where they haven't been home. Their visas and credentials have run out, and they haven't been able to get home and renew them. So they can't get off the ship here to go out and get vaccinated. So it has to be done on board, because if they're not vaccinated, then they can't get back home.
Yeah.
So they're really stuck in this catch-22. Uh-huh. They're very much a hidden society, but they run the global supply chain. Uh-huh. You know, during COVID, for 2 years, they were stuck on their ships, unable to disembark, but yet they were still working. Uh-huh. They were still going to ports and picking up cargo and bringing it back every 2 weeks to us.
Is the Port of Wilmington a busy port? Do you know about how many ships come and go? Or
if you condensed everything, I want to say,
I'm putting you on the spot.
don't quote me on this, but 15th, but as far as ships and cargo that comes in, we're not that large. New York, Los right. Angeles, they're the huge ports.
Sure, sure. And then where do your seamen come from? All over the world?
They are. They're from all over the world. Right now, the majority of what I see, the guys on the ships are Filipino. Most of the officers are Ukrainian, Russian, or from India. Mm-hmm. India. Mm-hmm. And that's really it. Once in a while, we'll get a guy from Italy or somewhere else,
right.
but that's the majority of what comes through the Port of Wilmington.
And how did you get involved with the port, Christine?
That's funny. So when I was a stay-at-home mom and my oldest was going to preschool, he became best friends with this little boy, AJ, and AJ's mom was the executive director for the Port of Wilmington Maritime Society. And we became fast friends, as our kids did. And every once in a while, she would have a work event and just ask me to help her out, sign people in on a guest list and things like that. And I was happy to do it. And it was just fascinating. I met a lot of fascinating people. And when I was ready to go back to work, and I kind of said that to her, I guess Joan had an opening for an assistant at the port, and that's how I ended up at the Seamen Center.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
Yeah. And Joe, you already told us how you got involved. It was with doing that story.
Through journalism, right?
Yeah.
At the Dialogue. I retired in 17, so the spring of 18, I'm kind of thinking of different places I might want to volunteer. And when I remembered my story at the Seamen Center, I liked the idea of volunteering there for a couple reasons. One, I thought it was a great effort to put a pleasant face on Americans dealing with foreigners.
Hmm.
And in 2018, I maybe thought it was even better to do it at that time. But welcoming the stranger is a theme of the Gospels, but it's a theme of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, and they all trace their roots to Abraham. And I just saw that, looking it up, that Abraham was known for sitting at the door of his tent looking for wayfarers he could be hospitable to.
Hmm.
And so some of the ecumenical origins of this ring true in religious histories.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating, very much rooted in Scripture.
Yeah. Yes, and thinking of today, it occurred to me that when Jesus is looking to recruit people, he went to the sea.
That's true, yeah.
And Peter and Andrew, yep. Fishermen.
Yep.
James and John, fishermen. I think they're the first four recruits.
Yep.
And it recalls to me that Christ went to the working class, and I see seamen come in from all around the world. And these are the kind of guys, and kind of they're probably the ages of a lot of the early apostles. And
yeah.
I link kind of a, it's good for the country, and it's good for Christianity.
Good, right. And it's good for your soul. Sure, yeah. Absolutely. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Forum, and my guests today are from the Seamen Center of Wilmington in observance of the National Day of Prayer and Remembrance for Mariners and People of the Sea, which takes place on May the 22nd. My guests are Christine Lassiter, the executive director, and Joe Ryan, who is a volunteer for the Seamen Center. Christine, how is the center funded?
We are funded from the maritime community, mm-hmm. the local communities around us, churches, civic groups, rotary groups, things like that.
I noticed, I've been reading your newsletter for 20 years, and I do notice that a lot of churches will have clothing drives, or what I always find interesting is how they'll knit like watch caps for the sailors and that sort of thing. So it really is a community event, right? A community sponsored.
Everything about the center just exudes community.
Yeah.
They knit for our Ditty boxes. So every year we run a program called Christmas at Sea. And during the month of December, every seafarer who comes through one of the ports in Delaware, one of the three ports, gets a shoebox that's wrapped. And inside the shoebox, it just has essential things like shampoo, razor, soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, some candy, things of that nature, something fun, a pack of cards. But every box on top has a hand-knit hat and scarf or neck warmer that goes out with it.
Wow.
And it really means a lot to the guys. They're so thankful for every little thing that they get. But
right.
when they come in and they're here during that month, they're especially appreciative of what they get.
And most of those hand-knitted items are made by church groups, right, or volunteers?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. There's some knitting groups mm-hmm. that are local, but I think a lot of them are church groups, like Rebecca Circle or something like that, mm-hmm. or Esther's Circle.
What's the most rewarding aspect of your work, Christine?
Just making a difference every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in the pharmaceutical industry for 20 years before I came here, and I worked in customer service, you know, some of that time. And, you know, somebody calls and you kind of get to help them, and, you know, you walk them through a Fortune 500 company so they're not ping-ponging all around,
right.
Talking to different people. But you don't see their face, and they're kind of anonymous to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the seafarers come in and, you know, you give them the smallest thing, like a used T-shirt or something new to take back to the ship, a basketball, and they're so happy. It's like Christmas every day.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I just love to see their smiles. They're warm, welcoming people themselves.
Yeah. How about you, Joe? What's the most rewarding aspect of your work?
It's very similar. It's, you know, I get a kick out of, you know, helping them and seeing their reactions. And you hear sometimes where they'll contact a family or they'll talk, or a child is born while they're away at sea and things like that. I met the sailor who spotted a sailboat guy in Florida who was adrift in the Atlantic.
Wow.
And he was on watch and he spotted the sailboat and the boat turned around. They brought him into... the port of Wilmington, and there was a to-do on the news about the guy who was rescued.
That was a national
national news. And I go into the next day, I missed the when the guy got off the ship, and in the Seaman Center is this crew member in the back, you know, playing a game or something, and he's the guy who spotted him. And I said, I guess you got a big bonus, and we had a good laugh about that. But to see, he was that concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And to meet people around the world, like mm-hmm. you've said, I like to put a good, nice, smiling face on the United States for these people from other places mm-hmm. and what they think about it.
Sure. So tell us about the National Day of Prayer and Remembrance for Mariners and People of the Sea. That's an annual day, right?
Right. The church... calls it a day of prayer. It started in the 30s when Congress passed a National Maritime Day for Maritime Folks. It wasn't observed much until the 60s. And since about 64, it's an American observation. It started out for merchant seamen and things like that.
Right.
And it's spread to fishermen and everything else. And the church, to celebrate that, has a Stella Maris, which I guess is like chaplains for ports, the Stella Maris, Mary Star of the Sea service.
Right.
And when I was at the Seamen's Center recently last month, and a call came in from a group that couldn't get off the ship, I thought, they called for a mass around Easter.
Right.
And...
Right.
Christine
called and talked to the diocese, and we ended up with Bishop Koenig going up and celebrating Mass.
Quite a chaplain.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah,
you were there. I mean, they were so happy. You saw their faces.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that made national news, too. That was picked up by a Catholic news service.
Oh, there you go.
Carried around the country. Yeah, absolutely.
Long may Catholic news service wave.
Yes, absolutely. So it's really a great observance that we're having in our church. And I think that for those of us who are Catholics and non-Catholics alike, if we can pause sometime the weekend or the day of May 22nd and kind of just keep those brave men and women? I don't know. Are there women?
There are women. There's not many. I would say 99% of the seafarers are men. But when I went down to the ship this morning, the person on watch was a woman.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised because usually when I see women on the ships, they're actually officers.
Mm.
So, you know, it was nice.
Yeah.
It was nice to
sometimes
say.
Captains' wives, but... Not
they'll travel
often.
With
yeah.
them once in a while.
Interesting,
yeah.
Interesting. We'll absolutely keep those people who are out to sea in our prayers this weekend. How can our listeners get more information about your work at the Seamen's Center and help out with your mission?
We would love that. I am desperately in need of volunteers down at the center to work the desk or drive a van and take the guys out shopping. The seafarers out shopping. We have a website that you can go to. It's www.scwde.org. We also have email. You can email us at scw@scwde.org. You can call us at 302-575-1300, extension 2. We would love to hear from you, but a lot of the information is on our website, so mm-hmm. you know it would be nice to have you go there and
give that
and
website
check it out.
One more time.
The website is www.scwde.org.
Perfect. Christine Lassiter and Joe Ryan. Joe, you have something you want to add to that?
I'd like to say, if people are thinking about volunteering, it's a wonderful community of volunteers who show up and help. And I've been edified meeting them and knowing about their lives and what brought them there. So it'd be a nice group to be part of.
Absolutely.
We're like family.
Great. Well, thanks both of you for coming and being with us today on Catholic Forum. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And on the next Catholic Forum, we'll hear highlights from Father Brennan Ferris's ordination, including Bishop Koenig's homily. Keep up to date with all that's happening in the Diocese of Wilmington by visiting thedialogue.org and cdow.org. To hear this and other past programs, visit cdow.org/Catholic Forum or search us on Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon Music Podcasts. Also, don't forget to like or follow us at facebook.com/Catholic Forum. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week and join us again next week for another edition of Catholic Forum.
This is Bishop William Koenig of the Diocese of Wilmington. Thank you for listening to this edition of Catholic Forum. As we conclude today's program, please join me in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.